I know a Savior in Jesus. Oh, it's true. Yes, it's true. He made a golden promise just for me, just for you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me.
Sky. Why have all the legends passed us by? I'm almost afraid to ask the answer to the problem that spawned this simple question in my mind. Feel the four winds, have they been bursting forth from battered sin? Blackness is the likeness of my soul, harboring the images of a glorious vision trapped within, purging every hope inside my heart. Everything we're fighting for, and everything we're dying for, and everything we're living for, shattered right before me like a scourge. Release my soul. Let me go and find the meaning of this life. Release my soul. Let me know the truth. of a dream. Does anyone care to hear the scream of a song of morbid melody, reflecting off the tides at sea, imagining just what might have been, tempting mankind's deepest dream, the greater faith in all, waking to the boldest primal call, echoing steps once again. Vivid colors burst to life like a rainbow that explodes, fading into black and white, the modern man forgoes. Everything worth fighting for, and everything worth dying for, and everything worth living for, shattered right before me like a scourge. Release my soul, let me go and find the meaning of this life. Release my soul, let me know the breaking shot of thought. Release my soul, let me go and do by the values that I know. Release my soul, let me go back to the time when I would be right at home, when man was still alive, when man was still alive. Before everything had died in the fire, in the fire, in the fire of night.
All our hands are are stained with the blood of men. All our evil thoughts and our wickedness have brought us into harm. So we lift our hands to your holy place, and we call on you alone. May your mercy, fire, and your saving grace deliver us from harm. May the weapons formed against us fail, and your righteousness ever be our shield as we humble ourselves and pray and seek your holy face. Turn from our wicked ways and call on you today. Everlasting, where we'll walk with you again. Lord, we humbly call on your holy name. You're our only hope. You alone can save us from this place that we've fallen in. Deliver us again. As we lift our hands to your holy place and we call on you alone, may your mercy, fire, and your saving grace from harm. May the weapons formed against us fail, and your righteousness ever be our shield as we humble ourselves and pray. Seek your holy face, turn from our wicked ways, call on you today.
Seatbelts in cars, road bikes with no helmets, and still here we are. Still here we are. We got daddy's belt when we misbehave. Had three TV channels, you got up to change. No video games and no satellite. All we had were friends and they were outside. Playing outside. Of allegiance, then someone would pray. Not every kid made the team when they tried. We got disappointed, but that was alright. We turned out alright.
And I was Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 17th day of July, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is The World is on Fire. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, so just pastordan.net. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page on that website. That's where we put current event information, also health information, research, etc., historical information, and, of course, identity teachings. The homepage on that website is kind of a directory, but also has information on how you can help us out financially if you feel so led. And the Contact Us page, if you wish to send me a message. That's, of course, if you're not a troll and you have some kind of comment or constructive criticism, certainly is welcome. So, the world is on fire. We're going to have a reading here, give me just a second, on 2 Chronicles 7:14, because personally I believe that's where we are today. Again, the world is on fire, and that is on fire meaning in two ways. On fire with the machinations of the nefarious creatures that walk amongst us, typically headed up and financed by Jews. But they are anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, and so the chaos and fire that they create is in the negative area, whereas our Father's fire is a cleansing fire, which is to shortly take place. It may have already started. That will cleanse this evil and wickedness out of our land. This poor earth is suffering under the, again, nefarious activities of this group of corporatists and bankers and government officials that are actually drunk on the benefits of the beast system, the delicacies, as it says in Revelation, meaning the niceties, the new cars, the big fat bank accounts, the yachts, the trips to the Riviera, you name it, the niceties that the beast offers if you'll just worship him. The same list of temptations that were given to Messiah by these wicked creatures. Whether it be allegory or literal, does it really matter? The point of it is that we can see in the world around us that that same thing is happening to our people in mass. Okay? We are the many-membered body of Christ, are we not? So each of us is like a cell within his body. So he was given a temptation, again, whether it's literal or figurative, on the mount, just as his body, his true sons and daughters, today are being tempted by the beast system. We are offered the delicacies of Babylon if we'll just worship her, if we'll go along. Look at the police and military that are doing the absolutely terrible things that they're doing to enforce these communist Bolshevik Jew orders to bring this world down. Look at the people that fly the planes and load the planes up with the chemtrail material. The people that are dropping bombs on innocent people, using drones to assassinate. I mean, you name it. So you can see that we are under the same temptation as our Messiah, only we are being treated in mass as his sons and daughters to this temptation, this obey me or suffer attitude. And of course, this is the test, right? Of course it is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, we'll start here on 13. It says, if I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. How about that? So not all the evil things going on are being done by evil people. Sometimes the things that are done to us are the persecutions promised by our Father when we disobey, aren't they? And then we get to the famous 7:14. And my people upon whom my name is called, or call upon his name, as it says in the Septuagint, shall humble themselves, and pray. So we have a conditional statement here going, don't we? So if my people, the ones that call upon my name, if they will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, which means seek his ways, his wisdom, his statutes and commandments, because he created this world. Part of the chaos we have today is the fact that we're trying to live in a world under the rules of men through either corporatocracy, government, or international banking. It doesn't matter. They all work in collusion together. Okay, so they're trying to get you to live an artificial life, and we wonder why it's not working. Because, again, we don't follow these short list of requirements for his mercy. Call upon his name, humble ourselves, pray, seek his counsel, his face, that's what it means in biblical terms, seek his counsel, and turn from their evil ways. Okay, so this is the list of prerequisites that our Father gives us, his people, so that we can then get what follows. Then I shall hear from the heavens and forgive their sin. What is sin again? Bad thoughts? No. Bad thoughts? No. Sin is transgressing God's law is sin. It says so in Scripture if you care to read it. And heal their land. So this is given in the order that it has to happen. He has to hear our pleas for redemption and for salvation. Salvation meaning save us from the plights of these evil ones that walk amongst us. So if we do the prerequisites, then he hears. That's number one. Then he forgives. In other words, he repents. And then he will heal our land. We want the land to be healed, but we don't want to go through the prerequisites. That's the problem with mankind. And by the way, that is also the problem with the racialist groups, like Aryan Nations and the, there's some other groups that I've talked to over the years, and they escape me now, the skinheads, the National Socialists out there in Minnesota, etc., that I've talked to over the years, very intelligent individuals. And I often would talk to them and say that, you know, everything that you guys want is in Scripture. Do you know that? If it's properly interpreted and from the proper point of view, context, everything that you guys want is within Scripture. Why do you fight those of us that believe in Yahweh Yahshua? Why? You don't have to. Now, granted, the biggest problem with these racialist groups is they cannot differentiate between mainstream, quote, Christianity and the true scriptures as Yahshua taught when he walked this earth. There is a big difference. Mainstream so-called Christianity is completely wrong. especially today. Now, when I was a boy, it wasn't near as bad, but it was pretty bad. But nothing like today. Today, they are completely apostate. So it would be nice if we could get on the same page and work together towards the salvation of our people, because we are in big, big trouble, meaning the white race. We are in big trouble. So the world is on fire right now, okay? The other thing I wanted to bring out, which I wanted to in the last broadcast, but I forgot, was the naysayers that are out there today, many naysayers that Scripture is of the Jews, of the Satan, you know, Yahweh's actually a name for Satan, and all this negativity, okay? They don't want us to read the Scriptures. Okay, now, have the Scriptures been adulterated? There's a very good chance that some of them have been adulterated. We do know for a fact that the translators did adulterate much, okay? So your English Bibles, for the most part, are not even close to what the original Greek says. So that's why you have to have a concordance, and you have to have an interlinear Bible, and you have to do a little bit of word study. Anytime you read something in your Bible, I don't care what language it's in, what it was based on, if it goes against the laws of nature, if it goes against your gut feelings, if it goes against logical thinking, you need to do a deep dive, because 99% of the time you're going to find out that your translation is wrong. Okay. Now, last broadcast, I was going to point out there's a scripture that says the love of money is a root of all evil. Okay. Now, for the naysayers out there, okay, it's a Jewish Bible. It's a lie. It's a misinterpretation. We should burn all scripture, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, you're going to throw a lot of wisdom out when you do that, because you don't have good discernment. If you did not take anything from that big book or any of the other scriptures other than that one verse, the lusting of money, called greed, is the root of all evil. Just that one verse. And applied that to what you see going on around you, it would have saved you and I and our people a mountain of misery. Would it not? Would you not be able to identify your enemies? Because they are the ones who lust after money. A person who lusts after money will sell his own soul. He would sell out his family. He would sell out his regiment. He would sell out his companions. He would sell out his co-workers. He is your enemy. Just that one verse, okay? Take the rest of the scripture and put it on the shelf and don't ever read it. But just take that one verse. So if this is an evil book completely created by our enemy, totally mistranslated, then why did they leave a verse that is so powerful like that in there? And there's many other verses in there that are extremely powerful as well. But just this one verse for today. The love or lust of money. Because you're living in a world that's upside down and it's on fire because of this one verse. We have police officers, we have military leaders, we have journalists, we have medical people, we have educational institutions, we have government officials at both the state, local, and federal level. We have all these things that have turned against we the people because of their greed for money. Why are doctors and nurses and hospital staffs going along with this complete charade called COVID, which does not exist, by the way? Okay, why? For the lust of money. You see, the Jew learned long ago that if you tie silver or gold or later on even digital money to a people who are not based in reality, not based in true faith and worship of the Creator, they will succumb. The vast majority will succumb. Remember, that's how the Jew operates. He first comes in and he placates you with platitudes and flattery to try to get on your good side. Then he opens up a briefcase full of money. This is being figurative, of course. Okay, because he knows that probably 85 to 95% of the time, that's all he's going to have to do is flash some money in front of our people, and they will do whatever he asks them to do. Look at your churches, for instance. They just went to the seminaries and dumped a bunch of shekels on them, and they started teaching Jewish fables, so that now the mainstream church is useless, completely and 100% useless. So they come in first with the flatteries, then comes the bribery. Now, if that doesn't work, then they start applying the strong-arm tactics. They'll use shaming. They'll use their control of advertising and the media to try to discredit you. And if that doesn't do it, then they will try to threaten you or your loved ones. And then if they don't get their way, they will try physical force, up to and including murder. Now, we don't need to go through the long litany of victims of even just the Clintons, who are Zionist Jew perverts, as well as many others, including Obama, the Bushes, and on and on and on. You don't get to sit in the Oval Office unless you're chosen. So this method by our enemy has been used many, many times. We have books that have been written with the names of the poor innocent victims because we have no justice in the land because our people have been bought off. The FBI, CIA, your so-called intelligence agencies. By the way, they were all formed by Zionist Jews. You know that, right? Just like the CIA with Allen Dulles, etc., and then his brother John Foster Dulles. They're all kikes tied in with the lawyers in Washington, D.C., etc. And that's where your intelligence agencies came from the beginning. So, of course, they worked hand-in-hand with the Israeli Mossad. Gee, big surprise there. And, of course, they're not doing anything to fix anything in this country. Where's the FBI? Why aren't they doing something? What happened to the CIA? What happened to the NSA? Your enemy formed those organizations, and you think they're going to do you justice? Then you go to the courtrooms, and what do you have? Jewish lawyers, Jewish prosecutors, Jewish judges, all the way down the line. Then you got the prison systems. They run that, or their sycophants run it. Okay? There's no justice in... Well, of course there's no justice in the land. Silly? It's all being run by your enemy. Why is that so hard to understand? The world is on fire because you haven't identified your enemy. We've read that quote from the book The Art of War many times. If you wish to win on this battlefield, which now encompasses the entire world, if you wish to win for sure, you must know who you are, and you must know who your enemy is. Now, if you know who you are, but you do not know your enemy, Sun Tzu says, you may win 50% of the time. So you got a 50-50 chance of victory if you just know who you are. But most of our people, because of the control of the history books and the so-called media channels like the History Channel, they don't know who they are. And they control these prostitute preachers that are preaching that anything with two legs and two arms is all part of the same race, which is total bullshit. Okay, so everybody's confused. So you not only don't know who you are, but you don't know who the enemy is, because they're actually trying to tell you the enemy is God's chosen people. 100% out of line with truth. So what does Sun Tzu say about that? If you don't know yourself or your enemy, you will fail every time. You want to know why there's no justice in the world? There is your answer. So again, one verse in Scripture, if it had been adhered to, if it had been taken to heart, if it had been applied to day-to-day life, the love or greed for money is the root of all evil. If you have a supervisor, if you have a vice president, a project manager, a CEO, a journalist, a teacher, a professor, a doctor, a surgeon, who is in love of money, he is your enemy. You've been told that that's not true, that that's the, quote, normal way you should be. From the time you're a young person, your family's teaching, go out there and get a job. Establish good credit so the Jew will lend you money at interest, called usury, which the Bible condemns, by the way. Well, that's right. You know the book on the shelf over there with all the dust on it that you never read? Usury is condemned every time it's mentioned. Usury, interest, is condemned. And I can even show you one verse that says that those who would charge usury should be stoned to death. That's how evil it is. And yet you're told it's normal. When I was a boy, if you charged 10% on a loan, they put you in prison. Yeah. Believe it or not, in my lifetime, if you charged 10% or more, you were put in prison for loan sharking, it was called. Imagine that, 10%. How many of you credit card holders and loan holders would love to see it at 10% or less? See how things change? You know, that's why Christ said, again, here's another verse, okay? So we have that verse that we just discussed. Here's one other verse. You could clip out of the Bible, throw the rest of it away. And it just jumped out of my head. Wow, I hate it when that happens. It'll come back to me. The point being that we are told, the leaven of the Pharisees. There we go. Thank you, Father. We are told in Scripture, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. Those are the words of Messiah himself. So you should take it seriously. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is a biblical term for these Jews, and their lapdogs. Leaven, we've looked this up in the Webster's Encyclopedic Dictionary that I have on my shelf. I don't care what your electronic versions say, but you look up the word leaven, and it, of course, has the first definition that you're all used to, which is yeast used in the making of bread and dough. Okay, but the number two definition is the one that's being used here in the Scripture. Beware the leavening process, which is anything that makes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. So what was Messiah warning us about? Using yeast to make bread? That's ludicrous. He was warning you that these Pharisees, these Jews, these little beanie-wearing monsters that walk amongst us, they make changes in your structured society by little, tiny, almost imperceptible amounts. Here a little, there a little, until they subvert the entire thing. much like the termite. That's why I use the analogy that they work like termites. Because termites take very tiny, small bites. You could have a hive of termites in the walls of your home for over a decade before you see the damage that they have done. And the same thing goes for these Jews who pretend to be of us, pretend to be American, pretend to be white, and they're neither. Okay? So like termites, they're eating away at the structure of your society. Just in my lifetime, look what they've done to change from the mid-50s to now of the American lifestyle. Because what you see going on around you is the result of these termites eating away at your Christian constitutional republic, to where today we are a laughing joke to the rest of the world. Our military men wearing high heels and supporting transhumanism and homosexuality. When I was a boy, if you were found of being a pervert, the very least that would happen would be a dishonorable discharge. That's the very least. If it was wartime, you would be taken into the field and executed. My Uncle Brownie was a lieutenant in World War I in France, in the trenches. He told the story to my father of when they found two homosexuals amongst them. They sent them over the top of the trench towards the enemy lines by themselves. All they had was a pistol. And of course, they were shot down by the German forces. And every now and then, he said, you'd see two Germans attack the American lines. And of course, the Americans shot them down. Now, you might say, why did they do that? Well, because in the early 1900s, it was a grotesque shame on a family to be known as a homosexual. And so rather than giving a dishonorable discharge to these men, they basically allowed them to do what the Japanese call harikari, which is basically a honorable death, so that they were reported as killed in action rather than as being queers. My, how things have changed. So a military that used to do that has now embraced it, because again, these termites have worked their way through the Pentagon and through the offices of government to where now Jewish perversion straight out of the Talmud is what's being taught. So your society now that's on fire is because you have become Judaized. And Ella, thank you for sending that in. You can go to Matthew 16, verse 6, and you can go to Mark chapter 8, verse 15, for the verses that we were just discussing. Thank you for that, Ella. So we should not be surprised at the state of the world because of our disobedience. All right? Disobedience. So just two verses out of the entire scripture, that, you know, the book that they're telling us is no good. That's what all the naysayers and the racialist groups and the agnostics and the atheists amongst our own people, they want to denounce the wisdom in the book because there's been some perversions here and there, or that the fact that the mainstream churches have completely obliterated the teachings of Messiah with the hogwash of the Catholic Church. Well, why don't you talk about the hogwash and clean up that rather than throw the whole book out? Because again, just these two verses, if you paid attention to what's going on, these two verses could have saved our entire society. If we had true preachers teaching these two verses every Sunday, drumming it into our people so that they would open their eyes and be able to see who their enemies are, rather than telling them that the enemies are chosen of God. And yes, their religion is antichrist, but they're going to convert in mass one day. Really? Let me know how that works out for you. I hope you're not holding your breath because you're going to be dead pretty soon. There's no intention of Jews converting, ever. If you think that's going to happen, you are dumber than a box of rocks. And it tells me two things. You must watch a lot of television, which is tell-lie-vision, full of lies, or you are also a churchgoer listening to the spewings of these prostitute preachers, spewing out the poisons that they do on a weekly basis. So it always amazed me that people can sit there and argue about all these things, and yet, again, we're showing you just two verses, that's all. Out of the thousands that are in there, that could also save you much harm, but just these two. These two verses alone would point a very powerful finger at your enemy, which includes your teachers, your media, your government, and most certainly the alien that walks among you. Again, just go to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, pick out the verses that say that you're not to allow a non-kinsman to have any kind of political power in your nation. I wonder why preachers don't talk about that. Okay, so now you could add three verses, but there are sections in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that give the law that our father said to his children, and our ancestors, by the way, when they founded this country, they built that commandment into the organic documents of this land. If you were not a man and you were not white, you could not hold public office. You could not sit in a jury box, and you could not cast a ballot for an election. Okay? Again, the biblical teachings were upheld by the colonists in this great land. And now, two centuries later, after the workings of the termites with the beanies on their head, amongst our society, nothing even closely resembles it. And do you think that what you see around you is good? Do you see this as a good thing, that we've empowered women, we've empowered the racial alien amongst us? Do you see it as a good thing that we've put the miscreants and cretins in charge of government, so now we live in a kakistocracy, meaning government by the least qualified amongst your people, least qualified? All you got to do is look at Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who's an aberration of nature and of government, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, all of them, miscreants, all of them, aberrations. And yet you believe that you owe them allegiance to whatever they call law? Really? But you don't owe allegiance to your Heavenly Father. Seems kind of odd to me that you believe that it's your duty as a Bible-believing, quote, Christian, to obey those who are wicked, evil, and pronouncing perversion, and you'll even pay tax to support these assholes. But the Creator who gave you life and created this beautiful land that we live on, if it were taken care of properly, and you owe Him absolutely nothing. How does the brain even process something as stupid as that? I would like to know, because it bothers me. That's why I still have never put a mask on since this whole nonsensical bullshit story thing started. And I'm not going to. And many of the people I know are in the same boat. We don't put their substances in our body. We don't give consent. We don't do tests. And we don't wear masks. We're not going to. That's pretty simple. People say, well, what about if you want to go to the movies, or if you want to get on an airplane, or you want to go to work? Well, it means that I have to make some changes, obviously, but I'll do without those things. I'll find another career, or I'll work under the table. I'll figure out something to do, but giving in to what the beast wants, that's not an option. I sure hope the people listening to the show understand that. The New World Order, sometimes called the Cabal, is on the attack now. I hope you understand that. In fact, I just saw some headline that was sent to me by one of my friends that supposedly there are rockets landing in It's a Lie, but being as it is, it's a lie, we don't know if that's actually true or not. Remember, these people lie about almost anything. If it can get them what they want, they'll make up complete stories of rockets, bombs, murders, shooting events. They make up anything they want if it's going to help them get you to believe that they should do what they want to do, which in this case is go to war in the Middle East and disarm the American people. That's their goals. That's two of their goals anyway. So the New World Order has put all their chips on the table. They're all in right now. That's why they cannot back off of any of this nonsense, no matter how stupid it is, no matter how many holes are in their arguments, no matter how many of us are waking up and defiantly telling them to go pack sand up their ass. We're not going to do what you say. They're in panic mode because it's not working. It's not having the effect that it did when they first started this thing because, strangely, there are still people that can think. Believe it or not, there's still people that have a little backbone left. There's still some men with some testosterone in their veins. Praise Yahweh for that. All of the shortages that we're seeing are man-made shortages. They're not real shortages. We don't have a shortage of anything, including land, resources, oil, nothing. Nothing. I remember reading years and years ago when they pulled this whole energy crisis thing back in the 1970s, the same playbook. I talked to people that worked for Exxon. I talked to Lindsay Williams, the pastor that went up on the North Slope of Alaska. We have enough oil right in the states of Oklahoma and Texas, just not the whole state, but just portions of those two states. There's enough oil right here on the continental United States to supply our needs for over 200 years. And yet they're telling you we need to be at the mercy of the Middle East oil and Russian oil, et cetera, which is a lie. And that doesn't even count the oil they found on the North Slope in Alaska. If you throw that in there, we could probably go for 300 to 350 years. So again, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. When are you going to wake up? I'm reading lots of reports, the Netherlands, Sri Lanka, and there was about five or six other countries where the people are protesting en masse. Where are the Americans, by the way? The Canadian truckers and all are the ones that got that whole thing started, and they have influenced the farmers and truckers in other countries, Italy being another one. Okay, where are the Americans? You know, the people that love freedom, the most armed population on earth, where the hell are they? We have the largest standing army in the world today, right here in the United States. It's called the American Hunter. Yes. All you good old-fashioned white boys out there that pick up the rifles and the bows and arrows, etc., and you go hunting deer and elk and moose, etc., you constitute the largest army on earth. Strangely absent from the playing field. It'd be like us having the strongest, most fit, well-trained football team, and yet we're not even on the ball field, and the enemy's out there running up and down, scoring touchdown after touchdown. Our team's still sitting on the sidelines with their thumbs up their ass. What's wrong with the American males? You're brave enough to go out there with that 30-06 and take down an elk. What about taking down one of your enemy? Oh, Dan. Well, let's see. They're killing you. They're telling you to put toxins in your body, in your family's body, and we know it's taking lives. You don't seem to be upset by that. They're telling you to go to wars so that Jewish corporations can make money. You don't have a problem with that. You can sit in a dugout somewhere and run a joystick and have a drone kill an innocent person thousands of miles away. You don't have a problem with that. You can abuse grandmothers and mothers trying to help their children in different situations. You don't have a problem with that. You can zip tie and hog tie people protesting what's going on. You don't have a problem with that. You can have treason at the state and federal level that's been going on for decades, and you don't have a problem with that. But the idea that we fight back makes you worried? Afraid? Afraid of what? Winning? Well, that's it. You're afraid of winning. Then you'd have nothing to sit around and bitch about, would you? Maybe that's what's wrong. We've been thinking you've been afraid of prison or torture or death or whatever. Maybe you're afraid of actually winning. Actually seeing the world return to this beautiful paradise that our Father in Heaven gave us, where you had clean water to drink and real food with minerals and vitamins available. You're afraid of that, aren't you? You're afraid of being able to stay at home with your family and wives and children rather than going to work in a factory somewhere. You're afraid of that, aren't you? You're afraid of not having to pay thousands of taxes every year. You're afraid of actually keeping what you earned rather than giving it away to a bunch of miscreant bureaucrats who will spend it for all kinds of stupidity. That's what you're afraid of, right? I don't know. I'm at a loss here. What are you afraid of? Because you're sitting on your ass while the world is going up in flames. You're watching neighbors, friends, and relatives drop over dead or seriously injured by the machinations of these creatures from hell, and yet you don't feel the need to get off your ass and take action? So you're afraid of something. I'm not sure what it is. Not sure what it is, because you're brave enough to beat up an individual. I've seen where 20 cops show up and beat up some poor guy out of a crowd. You got enough bravery for that. When's a crowd going to take one of those cops and beat the shit out of them? That's what I'm waiting to see. I want to see the video where the crowd just takes two or three of those cops and just literally beats the living shit out of them. Yeah, that's what they need to see. Same thing for military units that are doing the work of these communist antichrist bitches. When are people going to start grabbing those sons of bitches and do to them what they're doing to us? Just asking. Just asking. Largest army on the face of the earth sitting and doing nothing while the world goes up in flames. Maybe the fluoride has done its job. Maybe the feminists have done their job mentally to castrate our men. Maybe they're brave out on the pasture hunting elk that are defenseless or beating up innocent women or grandmothers. but when it comes to fighting a good fight, they just don't have what it takes anymore. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. We have all the evidence we need. Treason, murder, espionage, all the things that are capital punishment. Every one of them committed by these creatures that walk around us. But they don't seem to get punished ever by anyone, even the good guys. All you military guys that were trained as special ops, commandos, snipers, and all that, all you guys can't take out some of them? Are you all on the take? Have you all lost your nerve? Have you all lost your mind? Is keeping your house and your car that important? I mean, maybe that's what you fear, losing your toys. Is that what you fear? Because I got news for you. Once these Bolsheviks take over, you're not going to have any of those things. Go look at what they did to the White Russian Army after they took power in Russia. Yeah, that's right, Russia, the White Christian Tsar and the monarchy there. Look what the Bolsheviks did to the White Russian, especially the White Russian officers, once they took power. And I'm talking complete power. You think you're going to be on the winning side? You think you're going to sit at the table with these Jewish Zionist Bolsheviks? Again, you probably haven't studied history very much. Go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's books. And there's other books as well about what they did to the White Russian people, especially Ukrainians, who were Christian, white men, women, and children, butchered, murdered, starved to death by the tens of millions. And what they did to the white soldiers and the white officers. It's a shame. You know, there's a saying that says, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. So you men in uniform, whether you're police or military, I guess I should feel sorry for you, but I don't. Because you have the same ability to read as I do. If you don't read, shame on you. Because you're in a position to do good or evil and to be a great asset to the correcting of what's wrong in this world or doing the work of the Antichrist to make it even worse. You're in that position. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to study and find out what your enemy has done in the past? Or are you going to just believe the fairy tale that says that once the Jew has taken complete control, that somehow you're going to be on the winning side and you're going to benefit? Wow. Wow. Do you have a major wake-up call coming? We're also seeing the propaganda of toxic masculinity being bantied about continually. I'm proud to say that I am a toxic masculine male. Yes, I am. By their definition, I am toxic. And I love it. And all of the men in my circle love it. We consider it a badge of honor when you socialists, feminists, and you cucks and soy boys out there refer to us guys that still have a little bit of testosterone in our body as toxic males and toxic masculinity. That's a badge of honor because we look at you with utter disgust. You don't have the sense that God gave to the animal kingdom. That's how stupid you are. That's how weak and cowardly you are. Go find the animal kingdom that behaves the way you think mankind should behave. Go see in nature now. We're talking about a nature where man has no influence. Go look in nature at the animal kingdom, and they behave completely different than you morons are trying to tell us that we as civilized men should behave. Yeah, no wonder the world is going to hell. So, I say kudos to the toxic males out there. May we become even more toxic. Let's see. Oh, there is a global walkout being talked about, and you can read about it at a website called ReigniteFreedom.com. And that's all together with no spaces. ReigniteFreedom.com. Should be interesting. While we're talking about masculinity, Joe Ibriano, the Fullerton Informer, put out a video recently where he mentioned that beer, the drinking of commercially produced beer, has phytoestrogens in them, and phytoestrogens can attack the male and cause them to have lower T levels, and just like you were, if you were taking estrogen shots, you start to have breast enlargement, you start gaining weight, and a bunch of other stuff. Okay, so I looked into that a little bit, and he's right to a degree. And with the article I read, I'll read what you had took from the article here. It says, however, it can be a completely different story when it comes to alcohol abuse. In other words, this article was saying, if you're only drinking an occasional beer, you're not going to get enough of these phytoestrogens to make a difference. But if you're an abuser, and what's this scripture tell us? All things in moderation. So if you're an abuser of alcohol, it says, and you're drinking in excess, you may be surprised to find what chemicals are used in most beers. It's not just the phytoestrogens. Beer contains phytoestrogen and prolactin. These two chemicals can increase the estrogen levels that your body produces. If this happens too much, your body will react and decrease testosterone levels, which you can put at risk for, and put you at risk for low testosterone or feminization of your masculinity, which, again, all things in moderation. If you're in control and you don't allow your vices to control you, you don't have too much to worry about, because there are some beneficial things to hops and beer, and especially if it's made naturally, if it's a local brewery or you're brewing your own, it's just like cigarettes. If it's organic, non-GMO, non-hybrid tobacco, like our ancestors smoked, there's actually some benefits. Ella was even telling me that nicotine, natural, organic nicotine, is actually good for brain function. Now, they don't tell you that part, do they? So, We've talked about these health issues over the years. They lie. And typically it's a lie by omission. It's the part they don't tell you about. For instance here, drinking a beer can affect your testosterone. Well, it can. In fact, you can die from drinking too much water. Did you know that? Yes, you can. If you guzzled, let's say, a gallon of water, it depends on your size, of course, and physical condition, but if you took a gallon or so of water and just drank it straight down, you would probably kill yourself. So, again, does that make water harmful? No, because it's understood that you're supposed to drink the water in doses with a separation of time, because that's common sense. Besides, your body would give you warning signals if you were to guzzle too much. If you ignore the warning signals, then of course, yeah, you can kill yourself with water. And the same thing goes for virtually everything else in nature. It's understood that you're supposed to put pure water into your body. If you're drinking fluoridated water with chlorine in it and a bunch of other stuff, yeah, it's going to do some harm. And if you do it long enough, yeah, you're going to start noticing the harm. Just as your eating habits, they're not going to do it overnight, but if you keep it up for a long period of time, yeah, you're going to have some problems. I can't tell you the number of friends and family that I've had to talk to about that, and most of them don't listen. I'll admit it. It's shameful. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. Because they don't listen. You're just giving them sound advice and they don't listen. It sort of reminds me of the scriptures when it talked about Messiah. When he walked this earth, he had a forlorn look upon his face. I can imagine why. Here he is, the Messiah, the anointed one, walking amongst you with truth, and so few people cared. Those of us that know naturopathy and homeopathy, trying to teach others the simple, logical ways to health in God's creation, and people scoff at it. They run to that witch doctor that's going to stick them with poisons or do surgeries, etc. It's very disappointing. Very disappointing. For some of the men out there, you might want to try the website righteousarmy.org. Righteousarmy, all together, .org. It's a gentleman in Miami that I know personally, and he's trying to get the various militia groups in the United States to communicate with each other just for that purpose, just to reach out and share information and let each other know that you're not alone. Now, the funny thing is how many trolls and naysayers, well, there could be a Fed. Maybe you guys are just trying to get all the militia to sign up and then they can round you all up. Well, first of all, nobody's asking for a list of members, only a contact point. That's it. Not to know how many or who. Of course, you wouldn't want to put that information out. Just a point of contact, that's all. And if you're a member of a militia, then you should make sure that your militia leaders understand that giving out detailed information, of course, is a very bad thing. But communicating through points of contact, that's a different story. That's not going to hurt anybody. And the enemy, of course, does not want us talking to one another. They want us to stay afraid, cower in fear, just keep going along with what's going on. Don't make any changes in your personal life or don't organize at any level. And again, that's why it's on fire. But praise be to Father Yahweh. There are people standing up, just like the farmers in the Netherlands and Italy and Sri Lanka and other places where people are finally realizing that the enemies of mankind are the international bankers in collusion with the corporations and the governments. The scripture calls them the kings and princes and the merchants. So when you see kings, princes, and merchants, that's who they're talking about. They form the beast system. So again, if the enemy put the book together, why did the book tell us that at some point Yahweh will destroy this system? And this very same crowd, meaning government officials, bankers, and corporate leaders, are the ones weeping and wailing. Why would they put that out there? See, it's in our hands, folks, regardless of what the scripture says. It's in our hands. That you do know. You don't need anything written thousands of years ago to know that it's in our hands what we make of this world. It's in our hands whether we defend our families and loved ones or not. It's in our hands whether we accept the poisons that are in the big box stores or we want real organic pure food. Whether we allow our children to be brainwashed in these cesspools called public schools, or we teach them in private schools or homeschool. It's a choice. That's why your existence here is a test. Question is, will you pass the test? A lot to think about these days, folks, but fear is what? false evidence appearing real. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to give in to your fears. You cannot make smart decisions if you're in a state of fear. You have to lose the fear to become the men and women that Yahweh wants you to be. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We just wish that your spirit, as Ezekiel told us and other prophets, would permeate this world and touch the souls that walk upon it. Let them reconnect to you, Father Yahweh, because you are truth, you are wisdom, you are justice, and you are vengeance against those who do evil and wicked things. And we, as your sons and daughters, are your instruments of war and instruments of vengeance. Teach our hands to make war against the wicked. Open up our eyes to the lies and deceptions that abound today. Give us good discernment to see through the misinformation, the smoke screens put up by these miscreants that walk amongst us. For those who have made the decision to follow you even unto death, Father, bless their hearts, bless their souls, watch over them mightily with your heavenly angels. And we just pray for your day of judgment, as Malachi chapter 4 and elsewhere it tells us. We pray for that day, that you ignite the flame and a fire within our men, that righteous army rises up and says no more. The world groans for the sons of the Most High to be manifested and put this wicked, evil system in the dirt where it belongs. To that end, Father, walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And as always, we ask and pray that you would protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Once a good young king came by early in the morning. Hope soared nearly to the sky early in the morning. Yet that first hope nearly died with so little mourning. Good young king was crucified. In the stone cold tomb he lay,
Lord, thy great light, early in the morning. Hallelujah, saints and angels sing. Hallelujah, 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 praise the risen King. Hallelujah, 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 saints and angels sing. Hallelujah, 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 praise the risen King. Hallelujah, 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 saints and angels sing. Hallelujah, 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 praise the risen King.
Waiting for ascension. once was rising from the mud of destiny for redemption. Oh, brave, tell us of it all. To God, God, keep us all. No battle of
I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore. Long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy. I was someone's pride and joy. I was someone's tender lover. A worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home? For I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God that somehow He'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow He'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cried. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands. Only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I'm the unknown soldier, the one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW,
Some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
My word can rid you of the stain.